The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
He is fresh back from the Final Four. I'm Tony Curry here on the TKR Network. He is Kip Kiefer. I'm Tony Curry. This is the Kiefer and Curry Show. A little show we do every single week here on the TKR app. And, of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, you can also check us out on the YouTube channel, what you're watching right now. Let me get, you know what? I don't have my beautiful face. There's my face. There I am. I was like, there you go. I'm like, where am I at, Kip? There you go.
Tony.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, why in the world is so much going on in the world of college hoops, and why are so many people surprised by what's happened over the last couple of days? And of course, that would be the big John Calipari move. First of all, welcome back to town. I hope you had a wonderful time, great experience. I was kind of hoping you'd see, you know, a barn burner, a really good ball game, but UConn was just too good. But welcome back, and I guess while you were out there in Arizona, you heard the news about John Calipari. Were you surprised?
No, I was not surprised, because the Kentucky fan base, Tony, is fed up. They don't like his attitude. They don't like his excuses. They don't like, you know, Calipari is one of those guys who needs to be probably in Congress instead of a coach, because it's never his fault. You know, it's the players, it's the boosters, it's you know, whatever. But they're sick of it because they haven't been getting any results. And when Kentucky brings, you know, I was complimentary this week, Purdue, who has not been in the Final Four since 1980. Tony, they brought, I think they emptied the bucket. Everybody from Indiana was there except for IU fans. Mm-hmm. Every Purdue fan that's ever even thought about being a Boiler was on hand, and they really showed out. But, of course, they came up short. But Kentucky, and you've been around this for many, many years now on the sports side, if Kentucky's in any tournament, how blue are those arenas? I mean, they're everywhere. And imagine being a Kentucky fan, and now 4 out of the last 5, either SEC or NCAA tournaments, they have been eliminated on the first day. That you talk about unacceptable. That is lethal. I knew Calipari was going to get forced out, but I didn't know that he was going to maybe prompt that, because I guess he's looking hard at Arkansas.
No, I think he did them a huge favor. And to be honest with you, I think Kentucky did him a favor too. This is one of those situations where my son texts me the news like at 11:32 at night. And I was like, what? And the more I thought about it, I got a good friend of mine who's a huge Kentucky fan, and he just loves John Calipari. Maybe it's because they have the same style hair. And I said, listen, I'm just telling you, I lived in Louisville, Kentucky for 3 years. It's amazing, because in Louisville, even in Louisville, downtown Louisville, they love Kentucky. They love Kentucky. 75% of Louisville loves Kentucky. They love the Wildcats. It's hard to find a Louisville fan. It's hard to believe. It's a small faction. You think through the Denny Crum years and all the years they had success in, there's just a lot more Kentucky fans than there are Louisville fans. But you're going to go back. You're talking about a guy at Kentucky making $8.5 million a year. He won one national title. Usually you're never going to fire a guy that's won a national title, period. You look at any job, if you won one national title, you got in the top of that hill one time, you pretty much write your own way out. You do.
Yeah.
And John did that by going to Arkansas. One national title. You mentioned the fact, too, in his first 6 seasons at Kentucky, 4 Final Fours. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Four Final Fours in the first 6 years in Kentucky. And then, of course, hasn't been to a Final Four in 10 years. And next thing you know, you start looking at all the things that he has done, including going to a Final Four at UMass, going to a Final Four at Memphis. And of course, we remember that big ball game in Kansas. I'll never forget it. I was sitting down in Guatemala while I was adopting my second child. And I'm sitting there watching this game, and they're up by 7 or 8 points with 1.5 minutes left. And everyone kept saying, they'll make their free throws when they have to. No, they won't.
Kansas ends up
coming back. And I think I want to say they were down 9 in that game. They come back to win. And then you throw in the fact that while the fan base may love him, and he said something about 10 years ago, I'll never forget it. I was doing the morning show, the opening drive with Alan Jay. He said something along the lines at one of these coaching nights at one of these bars, Buffalo Wild Wings or something, that it wasn't about winning national championships. It was about these men in his life that he has recruited. It's about them being men in their life and about financially taking care of their children's 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 children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about that time when someone came out with an article, and I think it was like $4.75 billion of revenue that his players at that point in time, this is only about 6 or 7 years in,
right,
had made by doing basketball. He was known as the one and done guy. For the most part, he didn't care about winning national titles. I don't believe that. I think every coach wants to win a national title. But yeah, when you've got 35 first round guys and 46 NBA guys recruited overall, it's amazing. But you do eventually have to go, wait a minute. If you've got that many guys going to the NBA every single year, how in the hell are you only winning one NCAA game since 2019? How is that possible? One game in the last 4 years of March Madness, it doesn't make sense. And so at some point you have to say, you know, he's not as good of a coach as we thought he was, or he's not as good as he used to be. He's won a national title. He's been to Final Fours with three different teams. I'm never going to say he's not a great coach. But then all of a sudden, you going to bed with this really good-looking girl for a long, long time. She's had breast augmentation. She's had Botox. She's like packing it in. She's had the butt lift the whole nine yards, and she's fantastic. And her name is Kentucky. And man, I mean, she's awesome. And she just gets more beautiful every single year. But man, she is a pain in the ass. She's high maintenance. Things are never good enough. She's always asking for the salad dressing on the side with no butter on her mashed potatoes. I mean, you're like, dude, it just gets to be a pain in the ass to be around this woman. And all of a sudden you meet this hot, young 25-year-old girl who just got out of the University of Alabama, or just got out of, in this particular case, the University of Arkansas. And she wants to go out with the old man. She wants to go out with the guy. She's like, listen, you come stay with me. We're not going to live on the penthouse. We're not going to live in the best house in the block, but I tell you what, I'm going to give it to you 3 or 4 times a week. You're going to have a great time with me. We're going to have some upsets in our life. It's going to be a little tough, but we're going to be okay. But I really think you're going to be happier with me, an 8.5 that can go out there and have a nice dinner at Lobster King for $100, than go out with Ivana Trump or Melania Trump gal who expects to be spent $6,000 or $7,000 on a bottle of wine, and you ain't going to get none when you get home. So I think Arkansas finally showed him some love. I think he really appreciated the fact. Ergo, he took a million and a half per year a contract cut. He's making $7 million a year instead of 8.5. He does get some bonuses. He got a $1 million bonus. It's not about the money for John Calipari at this point. So while I totally agree with the fact that I don't think John Calipari is nearly the coach that he used to be. Do I think he's a hell of a coach? Yeah, he's won a national title and he's got it at three different schools. Do I think he's as good as he used to be? No, and I totally agree with you. I think he'd be a hell of a politician.
Yeah, if you watch press covers in recent years, that's what he reminds me of. I think, Tony, I think a suspect in the last couple of years, and it's the same reason that you saw Nick Saban leave, because guys like Calipari, guys like Nick Saban, they find a way to have the edge. They find a way that they are more likely to succeed than the other people because they have access to all kinds of resources, and they are just powerful personalities that can will it out of their teams. But now this whole concept of players being paid and this negotiation situation, and, you know, now a kid doesn't come in and say, you know, what's it look like for my playing time, or what can you do for me here at the school? He comes in and says, let's talk about money. A guy has a great year as a freshman and says, I'll stick around, but I'm going to need like a Maserati and a couple more million a year. I think guys like Calipari and Saban that are kind of control guys that are used to getting everything their way and can manipulate young people have had that edge taken away. And I think we're going to see a lot of this kind of situation going forward because the playing field, as ridiculous it is to say, with these millions of dollars, the playing field is becoming a lot more level now. Basketball, Alabama, and football, you're not going to have the dynasties now because you could be outbid.
Reports that there is roughly $5.1 million in Arkansas's NIL collective now.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't know how that compares to Kentucky. I'd imagine Kentucky could get any money that they want, right? I mean, they could get $5 million overnight if you need a guy. But listen, it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, he's getting five number one guys every. He'd get the top five guys on ESPN's top 200 every single year. But you're not going to Final Fours. You're not winning national titles. I mean, three or four of those years, about 8-9 years ago, it was Kentucky or the field. Do you remember we used to do morning shows and we'd say, I'll give you either Kentucky or the field. Yeah. And most people would take Kentucky because the Kentucky was that much better than everyone else. And they still weren't going into the Sweet 16. So I think after a while, I think Kentucky fans, you got to get what you want. I think you made a deal with the devil. I think it worked out well for you. You get a national title out of it, but they weren't expecting one national title. They were expecting multiples. You should have won 3 or 4 or 5 national titles like Nick Saban did at Alabama. So I totally agree with you. And the other thing that John Calipari's done, he's writing his own story. He's not getting fired. There's some friends of mine that are guys that are very powerful, incredibly narcissistic. So much so they will never get fired. They will give up a $3 million business. They will take a $3 million loss just so they won't get fired.
It's control.
Do you know what I'm saying? They're like, you know what? I'm going to go off and do my own thing. I'm out of here. I'm leaving in the middle of the night because there's no way the board of directors is going to kick me off this thing. I'm getting out before I get the opportunity because you don't fire these people. I think John Calipari was along those lines. So I guess now Kentucky's in a very, very great, interesting situation. And I think it's really interesting. There are 3 coaches that jumped out of their pants to say, I ain't going to Kentucky. Billy Donovan so far with Chicago Bulls has said, it ain't happening. I'm not going anywhere.
Which I predicted the first day his name surfaced. Tony, once you get out of the college thing where you're spending about 90% of your time glad handing boosters, talking to people about making donations, and then now you got to kiss the asses of all of these 18-year-old kids that, again, are not interested in anything, but, you know, what's in it for me? How much money can I get? A guy like Calipari, that's just going to drive him nuts. So.
No, he doesn't need it, and he's going to...
Billy Donovan's been in the NBA. The NBA's a job.
He is
going
to
recruit.
He is going to be
loved. Meet with scouts who assess players and you decide you're going to draft, and that's how you build your teams. NBA is the rock star of coaches. So I could never imagine a Billy Donovan going back to college.
You could be 8-21 in Arkansas and they're going to rub John Calipari's feet after a long day of work. That's how much they're going to love him to get in there. The other guy, Dan Hurley, and people are like, are you crazy? He's won back-to-back national titles at UConn. They've won 6 titles, and the next closest school is 3 titles, and that being Duke and North Carolina since 1999. Why in the hell would he leave UConn? I'll tell you why. For the same reason that John Calipari just left Kentucky. You know what? You've been there, done that. You've won a national title at UConn. Why not move on? Why did Jimbo Fisher leave FSU? Why do coaches that know, you know, it used to be, Kip, that you would leave a school if you knew there was no way in hell you could win a national title there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell Bruce Pearl he can't win a national title at Auburn. He went Final Four. I'm not going to tell Nate Oates you can't win a national title at Alabama. He went to Final Four. I'm not saying that just because you can win a national title now, you should stay at a school like that, but you do want to have the resources to take a school like that. I guess what I'm saying is Kentucky's just not as sexy as it used to be. They haven't won a national title since 2012. That means 12 other schools have won national titles. Well, you've been sitting on the sidelines, like you said, after the first night losing to teams like St. Peter's, it's not going to do. The other name, Nate Oates. And while I appreciate the fact that Nate Oates thinks that he's good enough to take the Kentucky job, I don't think in a million years the Wildcat Nation would want Nate Oates to be the head coach in Kentucky. The fact that Nate said, oh, and by the way, I'm not interested in the job. Okay, Nate, you sit down. All right, you went to a Final Four. Congratulations. But we're really not concerned about you right now. I thought it was incredibly narcissistic and cocky that he came up and said, oh, by the way, take me out of the hat. I'm happy here in Alabama. Okay, we weren't going to call you anyway.
Yeah. Nate was on kind of a secondary list. It's amazing how, like you said, Big Blue is not the prettiest girl in the room right now. And you know, every Kentucky fan that's listening to this is sick to their stomach right now because they can't imagine that Kentucky is not on top of the mountain, 365 days a year, every year. Remember 22? Calipari, I think, really started to slide, and maybe even perception-wise with recruits and whatnot. He had a real good team. I think it was 2018 or 2019, but they finished the season. Remember, they actually took a bid in the NIT and lost the first game. I think it was to Morgan State. I mean, I'm sure Kentucky fans were throwing themselves in front of buses in downtown Louisville. And in Lexington, I mean, it can't be. It's just such a phenomenon that these people just, you know, Kentucky is the basketball program, and for them to even be listening to this conversation, I'm sure beyond painful.
No, Kentucky doesn't lose to Morehead State for sure. So how did we get here? And this is amazing because, and you know this already, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it started with this guy named Scott Parra, who was coaching actually James Harden at Artesian High School a few years back. And he ends up getting the job at Rice. And he's not doing particularly good at Rice. And so he gets fired. Then Rob Lanier leaves SMU their first year in the league, and then he takes the Rice job. Then Andy Enfield leaves USC after 11 years to take the SMU job. He wants that job. Then Eric Musselman says, wait a minute, I want to get out of Arkansas after their first losing season in five seasons. He starts seeing the wick to start burning, so he takes the USC job.
Yeah, the dominoes are just falling.
And the thing is every one of these coaches, with the exception of Scott, they all left before they could get fired. So in some cases, they weren't going to get fired. In three of the four cases, they weren't going to get fired. You can make an argument that maybe Eric Musselman was going to, but you know, why would you be taking the, why would you leave Arkansas to take the USC job when John Calipari wants Arkansas? Well, I'll tell you why, because he just left Kentucky and he wants to get some sleep and he's afraid he's going to get another brick through the front window. And that's why. And so, when you start seeing how these bricks have just fallen over, so don't be surprised anymore. You know, the days of seeing Brian Kelly's leaving Notre Dame's, you can make an argument that Notre Dame is the most coveted college football job in the world and will be. It doesn't matter if they go 0-11, 100 years straight. Touchdown Jesus will always be relevant. For him to leave that school to come to the SEC, and you're sitting there going, why in the world? Think about what these coaches have to deal with, not only on the court and on the football field, but off the court and on the football field. And just how happy are they? Are you really happy when you go 10-3 every year, but you have a fan base calling for your job?
Yeah, Brian Kelly, too, the ultimate Irish Catholic coaching Notre Dame.
Right?
You would never have thought in a million years he would make that move. I remember when he was named a couple of years ago, what? Really? Mm-hmm. Brian Kelly's going to LSU? And then he went down. Terry and I talk about it on our show the morning after all the time. The first thing he did when he got down there was change his wardrobe and got a lot louder. Started talking with a Cajun accent. It was so ridiculous, so over the top. I said he will not be a genuine LSU coach until he makes a guest appearance on Swamp People out there wrestling an alligator into the boat. One of my favorite shows, but it's hard to watch because it's the same thing over and over. There's no variance. They catch it in the trap. They pull it up to the surface. They blow its head off and pull it in the boat. But until Brian Kelly rolls up his sleeves and gets into that kind of part of the culture, but it just didn't seem like a good fit. Boston Irish Catholic and Baton Rouge, but he's doing a pretty good job there. But like you said, I think all bets are off now of what we should be surprised about, because I think just like you're seeing players with unlimited movement, you're seeing a lot of the same thing with coaches.
I think you're totally right. And you know, these coaches, we're now not doing it for the money anymore, right? I mean, seriously, we sit there and as peasants, we sit there and say, what's the difference between $6 and $8 million? Well, it's $2 million, and it's a ton. Yeah. It's a lot of money. Believe it or not, $6 and $8 million is a lot of money, particularly when taxes are going to take half of it. So I'm never going to say the difference is nothing. But I will say that will $2 million buy you an extra 4 or 5 years in a lake house where you're really happy and you have a wife to keep happy, you have grandchildren, all these guys. None of these guys are getting younger. None of these guys are getting younger. And so they're all to a point where maybe they're realizing that, you know, life is important, but my happiness is as important. And Listen, when you're at a school, I think a lot of people would say, listen, do I want to be a school? I think the right thing to say is, do you want to be at a school that's expected to win a national title every single year? You'd say, oh, hell yeah. I'm up for the challenge. I want to be part of that challenge. But I do think it's okay, and it's not a head scratcher anymore to go, listen, I understand why you'd want to get out of there too.
Yeah, there's been something clearly different about Kentucky in recent years. Calipari had that phenomenal run of getting guys like Anthony Davis and several others that could just big men. I mean, he had a series of four or five superstar centers, which is still the key, the best component to have to be ultra successful. But that pond started to dry up a little bit again when competition has gotten a lot more intense because the rules have changed. Kentucky, let's be honest, there was no NIL in the early years of Calipari's administration, but you bet your bottom dollar they were buying every player they had because again they have an unlimited budget at Kentucky and they exceed it. But now that's not working because everybody can do that.
You're right. Everybody can do it. Can they afford to do it? Not necessarily,
but not in the long term.
You can certainly make an argument saying FAU, San Diego State, NC State, look at the teams that just made the Final Four the last 2 years. Don't tell me the parity's not alive. It's not Kansas, Duke, and Kentucky every single year. Those aren't the four, or North Carolina. It's not those four. We love those one seeds, and we like and the number one seed overall. And by the way, I wanted to get your thoughts too, real quick before we go. Your thoughts on, we love March Madness because we know there's going to be upsets. There's always going to be an 11 and 18 team to make it in that's going to have a run. We love the playing games. We love everything about it. We love the upsets. We love the Cinderellas. There's more so the Cinderella in college basketball than any other sport. And usually when the number one overall seed wins a tournament, whether it's the World Series in Major League Baseball, whether it's the NFL, I know for a while, wild card teams in the National Football League were winning Super Bowls. And we thought that was kind of crazy because, you know, these teams shouldn't even be playing. They weren't the best team during the season, but they win Super Bowls. And then we finally had that number one team win. And it's because UConn was the best basketball team from start to finish throughout the tournament. Are you happy with that? Do you like that? Or is there something that doesn't feel right, the fact that a team is that good for that long and end up winning what they should have on? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it kind of renews my faith because I don't think, I mean, the big guy Klingon is a really good player, but I think Connecticut is more a success because of all of their variety of parts. I don't think there's a single guy on that team, Tony, that's going to go to the NBA and just light it up. The reason Connecticut is so good, and this pains me to say it because I am not a Big East fan. Yankee basketball is what it is, and there's a lot of arrogance up north that their basketball is better quality. But Connecticut proves that if you have a tactician as a coach, and Dan Hurley's got every license to be that kind of coach. His dad's one of the winningest high school coaches of all time. Brother Bobby, of course, won a couple national championships with Duke, although he didn't turn out to be that great a coach. But Dan Hurley is a perfect example of a guy who just gets his pieces and knows basketball so intricately. And it's such a beautiful game. And there's so many ways that you can adjust and tweak and pull and make things happen that I like the fact that a team, not a superstar, because in basketball, you get a Michael Jordan or you get a LeBron. Let me throw this question at you on that leg. A discussion came up in a sports bar down there where how many teams in the NCAA tournament, if you could pick one NBA player and put them on the roster, would that propel teams all the way to the Final Four with one NBA superstar on your team? And my answer was, you put LeBron on Alabama the other day against Connecticut, they probably win the game. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, one player. Yeah, I definitely think. I think just one player like LeBron James. I'm not saying like a Damian Lillard, a guy that it would have to be. It has to be a point guard. Or a big guy. But yeah, no doubt. Hey, listen, fantastic show. We got a boogie on. Don't forget to check us out on Saturday mornings again, 10:30, 11 o'clock. It is the starting lineup with Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry right here on TKR.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.